The ratio of the problem's characteristic flow speed to the speed of sound comprises a second classification of aerodynamic problems.
Hey, Rascal, what would you call a problem if all the speeds in the problem were less than the speed of sound?
That's a good question, Daryl. That would be subsonic. Transonic if speeds are...
We interrupt this program to bring you breaking news. And now, Bill Denon. Good evening, I'm Bill Denon with this breaking news. An all-new episode of the Garrett Murray Podcast was released today, nearly 7 weeks after the release of Episode 5. Some speculated that creator Garrett Murray had been killed in an accidental murder-suicide on March 4th, but reports to the contrary show that he spent the last 6 weeks on an ill-advised soul-searching journey, a vision quest, if you will, and has finally returned to his former life. Lewis Spacklehurst has more.
It's late here in Vallecitos, New Mexico, and the sky is dark, like a pair of dark blue jeans. The sounds of desolation and humidity fill my senses as I wait in line at the El Agujero de la Cabra, a popular local watering hole. Inside I, along with all the other New Mexicans, will be treated to Garrett Murray's new one-man show, stand-up comedy of errors.
Hey, and now, please welcome Garrett Murray.
Thank you very much. Wait, no, that's later. No, okay, turn that off. I'm sorry, that's not supposed to play yet. My ears have not yet...
Garrett's show is a thrilling new genre of performance art. Stand-up comedy, Victorian theater, and just a little bit of hope.
I hath just flown in on the cursed gale of treachery from fair Verona, and mine arms tire under the pressure of said wicked flight.
Ahead of its time? Perhaps. Mr. Murray's cutting-edge show has drawn vast crowds, but satisfied only the most discerning viewer. Audience members could easily be described as let down, or angry, or in one case, downright vindictive.
Yeah, back in Albuquerque, an audience member doused the stage with tequila and set it on fire. I was halfway through my bit about Polonius and the 16-inch pianist, but I had to stop because of the fumes. At first, I thought he was trying to say, I get you. I like this. But then I realized he was probably just trying to kill me.
Near-death experiences are not why Mr. Murray started this journey 6 weeks ago. Just after the release of Episode 5, referred to privately as The Dark Episode, Mr. Murray and his co-host Sean Morrison found themselves on the brink of artistic collapse.
We just felt like, here we are at Episode 6, and it's just not happening, I mean, we're not clicking. There's no magic. There was no magic.
Episode 6 was started, but never made it past the first minute. Here is an excerpt.
So, what's new, Sean, and what'd you do this week?
Well, I recycled some soda bottles, and, I bought some socks.
Wow.
What did you do this weekend, Skippy?
Well, Sean, I spent the weekend writing down all the reasons Garrett Murray is a f***.
What are you doing?
It's our new sidekick, Skippy. Say hi, Skippy.
Say hi to who, Sean? I'm incapable of seeing holier than thou s***.
You know what? I mean, if you have a problem, we can talk about it later, okay?
Hey, man, say it to Skippy.
You're Skippy.
You gonna let that ass pirate talk to you like that?
You know what? Let's just drop this.
Okay, you know what? Skippy thinks we should be using this show to talk about real issues anyway, alright? Like the ongoing class struggle and the victimization of the proletariat at the hands of the industrialist dictators.
Yeah, your levels are too high.
Slavery still exists, and it's not between blacks and whites, it's between you and those bourgeois assholes!
Hey, what happened to our levels?
What's wrong? You sound great.
Oh, real funny. You know what? You're just a pawn for the...
Ow!
Mr. Murray, frustrated and yearning to perform, headed west with his fresh idea, intent to find himself along the way. And, with any luck, a little bit of hope. Meanwhile, back in Brooklyn, Mr. Morrison tried to soldier on without him. Here is a clip of unreleased episode 6B.
Hello? Welcome to the Garrett Murray Podcast. Episode 6. 7. 6. No, 6. Oh, shit.
Ugh. Here, at time marker 2105, we hear Mr. Morrison's total breakdown.
I'm showing the same card that you have, I think. Well, you're just going to have to trust me on that. But I mean, Jack of Clubs, what I have. Garrett, if you're listening, please call. I'm in your house.
Oh, I need to lay down.
It's unclear how Mr. Morrison imagined Mr. Murray receiving the podcast as he was traveling west on his motorbike.
Are you aware that Sean Morrison has been trying to contact you?
What?
Sean, he's been trying to reach you, to reconcile.
What?
Could you turn off the engine?
What? What?
I didn't say anything!
What?
Failing miserably at his attempts to brave the podcasting world solo, Sean turned to his second greatest passion, gold prospecting. Sean, how much gold have you found?
Just a little bit so far.
Really? May I see?
Sure. Right here.
This looks like glitter. And some candy bar wrappers.
No, that's gold.
Will you be finding more, do you think? Enough to sustain your prospecting lifestyle?
Oh, yeah. This book here says these hills are loaded with gold.
Getting Rich, A Guide to Prospecting by Archibald B. Jones. The jacket says that this book was written in 1842. Do you think it's still relevant?
I don't understand the question. Hey, I just found more gold!
That's a Canadian penny.
Gold!
Sean never found gold, and after 3 days returned to Brooklyn, where he tried his hand at junk bond trading, sweatshop master, something he called leprechauning, and finally reality TV co-hosting, his third, fourth, fifth, and sixth life passions, respectively. He failed at each. Then, defeated and alone, he returned to Mr. Murray's stoop, where he slept, waiting. As it turns out, Mr. Murray would be back in Brooklyn sooner than he had planned. On the sixth week of his tour, he got a wicked case of traveler's diarrhea.
I think it was the stress. The trip, man, it was stressful. But I think it was what I needed. You know, up until the diarrhea. But I feel like I was successful.
Critics would disagree. But Mr. Murray, on the first Greyhound bus back to New York, felt otherwise.
You can't tell anyone what entertainment is, you know? It means something different to everyone. I just don't think that the world was ready for me. I don't think they could handle mixing comedic observation with gorgeous Victorian prose. I'll say this much. If this were England in the 16th century, I would have killed.
Touché. For WKLX, I'm Lewis Spacklehurst.
Welcome to episode 6 of the Garrett Murray Podcast.
Thank you.
Yeah, episode 6. We did episode 5 like 3 years ago.
About that, yeah. It was like 2003.
Yeah, and here we are in episode 6 in 2006. Garrett Murray, and as always, with me, Sean Morrison.
Hello.
So, what's new?
Yeah, you'd think a lot would have happened in the last 6 weeks. A whole 6 weeks of my life.
Right.
Just ripe for storytelling.
People would think that. That's what they're assuming, but...
Yeah, you'd think that I was doing something besides sitting in my room and watching, episodes of The Simpsons.
Yeah, and listening to old episodes of podcast.
Our podcast, right, yeah. It's the only podcast I listen to.
Do you ever listen to our podcast when you're on the subway?
Oh, constantly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm really afraid that I wear, most people wear the iPod headphones with their iPods,
right.
But they don't fit in my ears.
Right.
So I always have to buy, I have a Sony junk headphones, the really in-ear kind.
Yeah, I feel like actually most people can't use the regular earbuds.
I think people force it because...
Jam it in there?
Yeah, because of how many people they see. Because I see a lot of people with iPod headphones, and I think that people feel... That once that they have to wear them. If they're using an iPod, it's cool. Got to have the white headphones on.
You seen like a guy which they're clearly taped in.
Mm-hmm. And duct tape. Ears are just bleeding.
Right.
And the guy's like, "No, I will listen." So I have cheap. Well, they're not cheap, but I have Sony in ear ones. Once it really get in there.
Do you have the ones that are the custom molded injection molding?
No, but
into your ear.
If I could justify spending $500 on that, I totally would, because the idea of headphones that fit perfectly in my ears would be fantastic.
Because
the inner ear ones are comfortable in the sense that there's something in my ear. You know, yeah, it's as comfortable as it could be for that.
Right, because the on-air ones press your ears and your brain starts hurting.
Right. So, but I'm always afraid that even though they're in my ear, they're bleeding. Like, not my ears bleeding. The headphones are bleeding noise because the iPod ones bleed like crazy. If you stand next to someone with an iPod headphones in their ear, you can hear exactly what they're listening to.
Right, that's true. That's right.
Yeah.
I just realized that I also am guilty of that.
Yeah.
Because I always complain about other people.
Oh, yeah, no, it's...
But now I'm realizing that I also bleed my music.
Yeah, you bleed all over the place.
Everyone I saw that one time, them. This guy got on the subway, and he was just, like, this cool hipster guy, you know, like, dressed perfectly.
Sounds
and,
like an oxymoron, but go on.
Well, I didn't think he was cool, but he thought he was cool. Okay, yeah. So he's, like, true. Dressed perfectly, and he's got his hair all perfect and everything like that, and he was listening to Britney Spears.
Nice.
Like, her first album, Britney Spears.
Nice.
And it was really loud, and so I started bopping my head to the beat.
Of his
music? Yeah, hoping that he would see me bopping to it and wonder why I could hear it. But it didn't really work.
Yeah. People are oblivious once they start playing music. But yeah, I actually, there's a woman on the subway yesterday who's dressed like a secretary. I guess that's kind of
offensive. Wait, was it a costume or was she actually
a
secretary?
No, I think she may have. Well, you know, it's like a classic kind of like a pantsuit. Mm-hmm. Like a cheap pantsuit and wearing white sneakers because that's what secretaries tend to wear home.
Like, I don't like that. Sneakers. I disagree with that.
Really?
Yeah.
They tend to wear sneakers to and from work.
No. You're correct. I just think I just don't like how it looks.
Oh, you don't like the look of it?
No, that they should. Or no, actually, what really bothers me is the white sneakers and the socks.
Yeah, yeah.
With a skirt on, or something like that. Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm all for comfort. I'm not an anti-woman person.
Well done.
but you know, I feel like there's other options out there that don't look like garbage.
Right. Yeah. You know? No, it does look pretty silly, but
you can still stay looking sexy. And be comfortable.
Yeah.
You know?
So she was dressed like that. And, you know, she had like, she was like middle-aged, you know, like 40s, I guess is mm-hmm. middle-aged. I don't know. And she sat down next to me and she was like very petite. And she reached into her purse and she took out a little pink iPod mini mm-hmm. and she put the earphones in. And then she was, you know, like clicking around on the thing. And then I was playing Alchemy on my phone. I'm now a master alchemist, just in case. It's a side note.
Wait, is this a game where you actually like try to turn lead into gold?
Yeah, no, actually, you're trying to turn the phone into gold.
Ah.
I've succeeded twice.
Wow.
I'm very wealthy now. But, and
that'd be a fun game, though, if you were like...
It was actual science.
Yeah.
Like real alchemy. It came with, like, different kinds of solutions, and right. you had to carry them around. And then you had beakers and stuff, and people on the... You had to ask people to hold things. Like, hold this beaker. I can't mix this beaker and... Oh, the Bunsen burner.
Bunsen burner. Yeah, there you go.
All the stereotypical science words. So she was clicking around, and then I wasn't paying attention, and all of a sudden I hear like, and I look over, yeah. and she's she's, you know, swinging her head around, and this music is atrocious. It literally sounded like somebody was just breaking stuff, and then there was music in the background.
All right.
And the whole ride, 15 minutes straight, it never stopped. It was the same beat.
What kind of music was it?
That's what it was right there. Like, that was the music.
Yeah, so if I liked that music, I would like having listened to that.
Yeah.
Great.
And I was just, I wanted to ask her, what is that and why aren't you following the kind of music I would imagine you should be listening to? You know, like Billy Joel.
Celine Dion.
Yeah, you know, something very calm.
Why don't you fit my stereotypes?
Exactly.
Yeah, I saw this guy once. He had the earbuds in, and somehow he had tricked these things out such that there was an intense amount of bass on mm-hmm. them. And his, you know how when a car goes by, it's all been like, you know, pimped out with this this big, you know, bass subwoofer.
Yeah.
And the license plate rattles.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, this guy's earrings were rattling. So it was like, like that. Like his ears were actually like flapping. I was like, what is that noise? Until I finally realized that it was his music making his ears vibrate.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think a lot of people do that just for the effect that it causes. Rather, because music is not good when it's all bass.
Have you ever been in a car like that?
I don't know if you've no, not really.
It's awful.
Yeah, it's painful. It's not music.
Yeah, no.
It hurts your chest.
Yeah, my heartbeat skips a little bit.
And you're not hearing the music. All you hear is like...
Right.
Like, oh, wait, what song is this?
Yeah, I guess... I wish I liked that, because those guys are so cool.
This is Kenny G. I don't hear it. All I hear is noise. So that's why I'm always afraid to listen to our podcast on the subway because I'm afraid it's going to bleed out and then, you know, someone will bump into me and I'll go, oh, I'm sorry. And then someone will go, oh, wait a second. He's listening to himself talk. How pathetic is that? you know, but the likelihood of that's not.
Probably not. Though you may run into someone else who's just familiar with the Garrett Murray podcast.
Ah, that would be interesting if somebody walked by and they heard it and they were like, oh, the Garrett Murray podcast, I like that. And then I would pretend that I'm not Garrett. Right. I'd be like, oh, yeah, so do I. It's really good. And they'd be like, I agree. It is really good. And then we would sit and schmooze about right. Garrett Murray. I'd be like, right. Oh, so dreamy. I wish they put a picture of him up. And I want them to do a video podcast. And I hope he doesn't wear a shirt. And then they'd be like, well, okay, I'll see you later. Like, wait, I'm Garrett Murray. Love me.
Yeah, I think you would immediately tell them you were Garrett.
Yeah, Murray. I would. Yeah, I can't.
I like that shirtless video podcast mm-hmm. idea. Mm-hmm. I could be into that.
Yeah, not me.
I could be talked into that.
Well, I'm not going to. So okay. I'm not going to try. Nah? If you don't want to do it, just off the idea. I'm not going to convince you.
I was kind of... The exciting part would be being talked into it.
Oh, just the discussion about
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Now we're in a strange territory. 6 weeks, people haven't heard this.
No.
Right now, people are just... They're happy. I can feel it.
Yes, our inane banter is back.
Yes. This common thing, and maybe this is a New York City only thing, I don't think so, is wearing high heels with jeans or pants that cover them. Women.
Right.
And what I don't understand about this...
So you get a little heel poking out.
Yeah, just barely.
Pointy toe.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Just barely. And what I don't understand about, as far as I know, and please, someone correct me if I'm wrong, except you. no, anybody. The point of a high heel, as far as I'm concerned, is the way it looks.
Right.
Because... Every woman I've ever talked to says that they're horribly uncomfortable.
Right.
That it's hard to stand in them. It's hard to walk in them. It's hard to balance. It's dangerous to go up and down stairs.
Mm-hmm.
It makes walking on any surface that's not even difficult. And especially in New York, if you accidentally step on one of those grates, like above the subway, oh, God, you know, yeah. to break a heel, you can break a heel. There's all this stuff. So a high heel specifically is torture you choose because of the look.
Right.
Right? So you put them on because you want to have, like, the look that men are stereotypically attracted because, you know, it makes you stand on your tiptoes and so your calf muscles are all...
It's hot as hell, yeah.
Exactly. So people are like, you know, oh, the high heel. So I understand it when you put a high heel on with, like, a skirt or even a dress, although I guess dresses are supposed to be long. But if you put a high heel on and then cover it with shoes, you are effectively torturing yourself for the purpose of no one.
For no reason.
And I see these women... walking on the street as if they've broken both their legs
mm-hmm.
and they're recovering and they're like walking really timidly and like it's very difficult and stairs they have to go down like they're somewhat paralyzed like they're right. holding the stair and their hands are shaking and then I look and I'm like why are they because they're wearing heels yeah. and you hear click clock click clock click clock but you see jeans touching the floor
right
why are women doing this
I don't know. It still makes them taller, right?
It does make them taller. And if that's the only reason, then I have a better suggestion for you. Have you ever seen someone who has one leg shorter than the other and they have that special shoe?
Special shoe.
Buy that special shoe. Buy two of them. You get those shoes that have like... And what? I'm not trying to make fun of people who have one leg shorter. I'm saying there's a solution.
They don't wear heels.
Exactly. Exactly. There's a solution. 6 inches of rubber on the bottom of your shoe.
Yeah. Well, great idea, first of all. Great idea. Maybe it doesn't look as good because you had this big sort of like retard shoe on.
I like how I said, no offense to these people. And then you said retard shoe. But in truth and all harsh words aside, that is true. When you see one of those shoes, you're not thinking supermodel. I mean,
right.
You're thinking something
it's,
happened.
It's not hot.
Yeah. No.
At least.
That's true. That's true. I look at people and I just think, what are you doing? Like when you, especially living in Williamsburg with the hipster crowd and where you see someone wearing Converse shoes.
And like leg warmers.
Yeah, and like leg warmers and jeans that are so tight that I don't understand how they can sit. Like, they'll, right. you know, it's like they look so thin. And then like a dirty trucker shirt that says some ironic bullshit thing like Mountain Dew on it. And, you know, a hat with like dirty hair. And I just wonder, these are people who live in a place that costs thousands of dollars a month to live in.
Mm-hmm.
And they wake up in the morning in their fabulous apartments in Williamsburg.
Right.
And they go, oh, today I'm going to wear the shirt that's filthy. I'm not washing my hair today. Not a chance. Not me. You know, it's like this 50-50 thing where you're like on the outside, you pretend you're really like, you know, like grungy and hipstery and dirty and like you don't give a damn and the, you know, like F the man because I'm just wearing whatever I want. And then you go home and write a check for $2,800 for your fantastic Bedford Avenue apartment, you know, where you go down to the local cafe and drink frappuccinos or cappuccinos or whatever. And then, you know, in your stupid, dirty Converse shoes.
Right.
And I feel like if you're going to do that, go all the way. Live in a dumpster.
Right.
Under the bridge.
Right.
You know, do heroin. Have a
check.
Yeah, exactly. Have a shitty job. But don't live in your fancy apartments because I don't live like a... I want the fancy apartment.
Right.
Like, and I don't wear the
clothes. I wouldn't dress like a bum.
Yeah, exactly. I'd wear a suit every day. I'd come in and I would talk to everyone as if they were my subordinate.
Right.
Oh, hello.
Call everyone by their last names.
Yeah. Oh, Smith, what are you doing today? I'm waxing my money.
Waxing your money?
I imagine this is what wealthy people do, you know? Actually, invent time wasters, you know?
Yeah, that's like the New Yorker said that. That's what rich people do. Assuming it's true.
Yeah, invent time wasters such as waxing your money.
Yeah, that's a pretty awesome thing. I can't wait till I'm that rich. I can wax money.
Well, the coins get dirty, you know?
Oh.
And you need them to slide. Because a lot of times when you have a lot of money, first of all, you're never going to put it in someone's hand. Because that's for poor people. Poor people touch other people's hands. That's disgusting. So you throw your money on the table, and it needs to be able to coast to the person.
Oh.
So you wax your money, and then you just go, here, and it slides. And you occasionally will throw extra, like $300 or $400 extra into it.
Mm-hmm.
And go like, oh, I don't care. Just keep it all. What do I need it for? I own a building and three people.
This is kind of a weird story. I don't even know if I want it to be recorded forever, but I came downstairs. I was visiting my parents recently, and I came downstairs, and there was a picture out. I think it was a Christmas, and there was pictures of me in the hospital in my mom's arms when I had just been born.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, wow, that's crazy. I haven't seen these pictures in a long time. So I pick it up, and I was like, don't turn that over, though, because on the other side is the actual birth. And I just slowly put the thing back on the table and walked into another room. Because that would probably be the most horrific thing I could possibly see in my entire life.
Now, let me get a little more in detail because I'm a little confused on some of how this... It's in a picture frame?
No, it was like a photo. It was like a page out of a photo album. So it was eight pictures per page.
I see. Because I thought it was that she had that picture in a frame on the table and hidden behind that picture inside there was... So like occasionally your mom comes downstairs in the middle of the night when she's feeling very lonely for this time when you were just born and she slides it out of the frame, turns it around, puts it back in, and then looks at it. And then before anyone knows, she reverses it, you know, but... Only she's aware.
Why she would want to see that either. It was
yeah, I don't know.
Weird. No, this is just like a photo album of like my me being born. It's like a big album.
Right.
I felt like, do other people have these pictures lying around?
My mother made a lot of those albums when I was very into albuming.
Because my dad is really into photography.
Right.
You know, he actually has some old cameras that actually have like the bellows and like a sheet that go over your head and like a thing, a flash, like craziness.
Yeah.
But he took pictures of everything.
Right, right.
So including, you know.
Yeah.
I just didn't know if that was normal or not.
No, I think it is. I think that everyone wants to record all the points of their life that are somewhat important.
Meaningful, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and that's obviously one of them. Although that specific moment maybe doesn't need to be recorded on camera. Or maybe a little crop job would be fine. You know?
Right.
So you don't have to see actually what's happening. Just like in general, here she is giving birth, not here it is being born.
Right.
You know, like, but at the same point now we're to HD DVDs and HD TVs. So I imagine from this point on, you know, if someone goes, hey, you want to see a video of my child being born? You absolutely say no, because it's going to be scientific looking. It's going to be full screen wide with, you know, like 235:1 ratio. It'll look like Saving Private Ryan.
Right.
Like, it's like there's trenches, the baby like comes shooting out and there's blood everywhere. And like...
It's Germans for some reason.
Yeah, yeah. And the Nazis are there and you're like, get out of here.
Get out of here, Nazis.
Yeah, well, that's what they said in the war. Yeah. I don't know if you remember. It's all the time. They'd come in with their guns and go, you Nazis!
That's how we got them out of France.
You get out of France! We don't like you here anymore. I fancy up all my words when I try.
Yeah, well, have we already talked about how you used to spell,
Yeah, I think we have.
Crap.
Yeah. Wow.
Oh, we're already...
We're recycling. Oh, no. Not good.
Did you hear that the Batman's gonna be in The Sopranos?
No. Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding.
For Christmas last year, I got a subscription to Make magazine. It's the O'Reilly magazine about creating things and the whole like culture of like not buying and doing yourself and modifying and hacking and customizing, blah, blah, blah. The reason that I wanted it is they have a website, which I really liked, and some of the stuff was really interesting. I thought, okay, I'll get the magazine. And,
sure.
And it's like once every 2 months or something like that. You must be a scientist to use anything from this magazine. Anything. I mean, I think of myself as a fairly smart person, and if not capable of learning.
Sure.
You know? And I open this magazine up, and I immediately feel like an idiot. There was one issue. The cover was, make a guitar out of a cigar box. I was
right.
Like, that's cool. Like, sure. Why not? I'll do that.
I mean, I opened was it like up. Like the one I got in, like, when I was a little kid, I was told I could do that.
Right.
It was a tissue box.
Right.
And they just had you glue a rubber band across the hole, and...
No, it was slightly more complicated than what you're describing. What you're describing is make a guitar with air quotes out of garbage with no quotes. It's like, do you have garbage lying around your house? Put it together and strum a rubber band and noise will come out.
Let me tell you, it was as disappointing when I was a kid as it sounds now.
I imagine it. It must have been. But no, it was a full-fledged guitar. I mean... It was like this, you had to like use a Dremel and there were guitar strings and you made the proper tuning things. And it was like 20 pages of description of how to make it. And then they show you how to tune it and how to adjust the everything. And they show you how to play it, how to add frets. It's totally insane. And then they show you how to make it electric. So you can put it in like a box and then put it through an amplifier. I started reading it and I felt just insane. I couldn't understand anything. It was simple stuff was even confusing. It was like, cut a square. And I was like, out of what? Using what? What is a Dremel? I don't know what a Dremel is.
So you've become completely helpless, basically.
Yeah, I get the issues now and I look at them and I go, yeah, fuck you. I don't understand what you're saying. This thing. I can't get that. And you know, the table of contents alone is too confusing for me. It's, you know, it's like turn to page 20 for an electronic lesson on how to read flow charts when it comes to electromometers or whatever. I throw the fucking thing into the magazine rack because I don't understand it.
As far as the guitar ones, I have a good step-by-step how to make a guitar. And it kind of starts off with you driving to the guitar store.
Yeah.
And buying one.
Right.
Made by a professional.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't imagine that would, it's not like, you know, I can understand wanting to make your own whatever because it's better than for the environment, let's say.
Right.
But a guitar is really a guitar.
Yeah.
You know, and you should just buy one that's already good.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that the only cool thing about building your own guitar is how stupid it looks. So when people go, what are you playing? And
right.
You go, oh, it's a cigar box. I tuned it.
It sounds more like a mandolin. Really.
Yeah, I don't know how a guitar sounds.
But I would imagine that sounds, yeah.
Well, in truth, it probably sounds like twang, twang,
probably
twang.
Sounds like garbage.
Yeah, because it's made out of garbage. You know?
Right.
This is episode 6. The Garrett Murray podcast, and so now that we're kind of back into it, there shall be an episode 7.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if everyone's aware of the scheduling change that we had a while back because we both announced we were switching to a bi-weekly schedule,
which apparently means bi-monthly.
Yeah, every 7 weeks. So we are though on a bi-weekly schedule. So the next episode will come out 2 weeks after this episode, or a week and 6 days. Whatever you want to say.
Whatever, what kind of math you use in your weird country.
Yeah, exactly. And then we are, we're officially, I guess this is the first official announcement, that the first season of this podcast will end with episode 8, 2 episodes from now. This is 6.
Don't panic.
Don't freak out. Episode 8 will be the final episode of the first season. And there will be a second season. We will take a short hiatus between them to retool and to replace Sean with another person. Right now,
we didn't.
Yeah, no. I'm in serious talks with Gary Coleman. I'll just be honest with you.
Really?
Yeah, well, no, he's into it. We have to get him a booster seat to reach the microphone, but...
He could sit on my lap and I could still be in it.
No, that's not going to happen. It's you're out. You're out.
What if I just whispered things in his ear?
Oh, you'd like his conscience?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I actually sort of like that.
Because we all... Yeah.
I like that.
All right. So I can be here. Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah. Sigh of relief.
Yeah.
So, yeah. This is episode 6. We'll do 2 more, and then we will take a short break for... season 2. And season 2 will be full of just tons of goodies.
It'll be twice as good.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that right now. Yes. It's going to be twice as good.
At least.
And every season will exponentially be better.
Right. Until season 5, it will actually just be a recorded orgasm.
Right.
And everyone who's listening to it will have an orgasm.
Right.
And that will be it. It'll just be like a worldwide phenomenon.
People will just
orgasms everywhere.
Crazy. And then the season six will just be light.
Yes.
You'll turn on your iPod and just light will emerge. Mm-hmm. A holy light.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It would be angelic in nature. And then, unfortunately, season 7 will be death.
Oh, I thought that was the Star Child. Where we turn into Jupiter.
No, it'll be a message of death.
Oh.
Yeah. So
that sucks.
Yeah, that's okay. We got a couple of years until then. So enjoy it while it lasts.
Okay, Duke.
So episode 6. Thanks for sticking around, everybody who is subscribed to this podcast. You know, tell your friends that we are back. There will be an episode 6, and here it is, right here. So thanks for listening to the Garrett Murray podcast, and thanks, Sean, for being here.
You're welcome.
All right. See you later.